Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This morning, I'm going to bring a message which is entitled Take Root Downward and Flourish Upwards. And I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 37, verses 30 to 32, if you've got a Bible with you, or your phone, or your iPad, or whatever else it is that you read the Bible from nowadays. It begins by saying, "This will be the sign for you, Hezekiah. This year you will eat what grows by itself, and the second year what springs from that. But in the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards and eat their fruit. Once more, a remnant of the kingdom of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. For out of Jerusalem will come a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." This is God's word for us this morning. The context, of course, is the exile and a remnant of God's people coming out of Babylon and being planted again and rooted in the land of Israel. Once more, a remnant of the kingdom of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. Now, let me tell you the story of a young man called Jim. This happened some time ago, but I'm telling it to you in the present tense. Jim is a young single minister who set out to live an exemplary lifestyle. He's a young youth pastor, and he is exemplary in his efforts to live a disciplined Christian life. Jim spends a huge amount of time in prayer and in Bible reading, far more than perhaps men who are more mature in the ministry. He's sincere and dedicated, he's self-disciplined, and he is committed to the attainment of a life that is excellent and superior. Jim cannot, and in his own mind, he simply must not fail. Everything that he does in his life is geared towards the attainment of excellence, and with the view that there is no failure or imperfection in his life. But lately, Jim has been unable to sleep. He will lie awake at night and pray, and he will plead with God about what's missing in his life. And about a month ago, Jim began to see a psychiatrist. What a contradiction that seems to be. You might think that Jim's life of prayer and dedication and commitment would produce a life of excellence. But in actual fact, what it has produced is him sitting in a psychiatrist's chair. It did not lead to the abundant life that he was hoping for. That has not been so. And Jim has finally decided to seek help from someone who understands life even less than he does. What a sad story, in a sense, that is. You see, Jim saw self-control in the Christian life as something that he could produce in himself. Yeah. Now, sometimes a fruitful and flourishing Christian life is something that we feel we can produce. That if we work hard enough, and we pray hard enough, and we give hard enough, then we're going to see the blessing and the fruit in our lives. But this can be a recipe for disaster and a recipe for failure. Today, I'm preaching on how taking root is a key to the blessing of God. It's fundamental to growing in God and to living a fruitful and flourishing Christian life. The Christian life is not about survival, it's about flourishing. Amen. God wants you to flourish. He wants you and me to bear much fruit. And he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you want to bear fruit above, you have to put your roots down below. There is no shortcut to living a flourishing Christian life. We can only do it by putting our roots down deep. So what's the problem with Jim? You see, he is committed to an exceedingly abundant Christian life, but a great aim, which is, in fact, a great aim. But Jim is seeking to do this by his own efforts. And Jim could take a lesson from nature. Take a tree, for example. It begins as a tiny seed. Last night I ate an apple and I took out the seed. Okay? That is where an apple tree begins. That is where that beautiful fruit called an apple begins. It begins in a tiny seed. And then it's got to be planted in the right soil. Then the sun comes and it shines and the rain falls and it begins to grow and it sprouts branches and leaves. And the last thing that it does is bear fruit. The last thing that appears on the tree are those beautiful apples. But there is one other very important thing that the tree needs if it's going to get to that stage, and that is that it's got to remain. It's got to abide. It's got to stay in the soil in which God has planted it. If it gets uprooted and taken off into another place and gets rooted somewhere else, which isn't the right soil for it, it's not going to grow and it's not going to flourish. It's got to stay in the soil that's good for it. And if it stays and remains constantly and faithfully, in spite of the storms of life, that tree will grow and it will flourish and eventually it will bear fruit. A tree that takes root downwards, it grows and then it bears fruit upwards. So what I'm saying to you this morning is that you will not achieve what you want to be. You and I will not go where we want to go. We will not have the fruit that we want to bear in life unless we put our roots down deep. Yeah. And then when the storm comes, the wind will blow and the rain will fall and the music will come. And they will play football. Okay. But you and I will never be shaken. You know that it takes more than music from Match of the Day to knock down a tree. In actual fact, it takes a hurricane to bring a tree down. It takes a mega storm to uproot a tree. And when it does happen, when a tree does come down, it's usually because there is decay and damage somewhere in the tree. Yeah. Decay in the roots or decay in the trunk. And that decay can cause a tree to come down. However, this is the good news. There may be some decay in the tree, but it's the strength and the quantity of the timber around the decay that will stop that tree from coming down. Yeah. So we all have problems and we all have issues and difficulties in our life, but if we surround ourselves with strength, if we surround ourselves with a good church, if we surround ourselves with good, strong people, our tree will not fall. We will not come down. We need to learn from the tree, because in nature we learn a great deal. Jesus spoke about nature all the time and he used examples from nature all the time. The strength and the support that you have around you when you feel hurt or you feel damaged is the key factor in your survival. Find a place of strength. Find people around you who can love you and support you and encourage you. And the wind will come and the storm will blow, but you, by the grace of God, will stand.
Amen.
As we read in Isaiah 37, 31, the surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root downwards, and you will bear fruit upwards. So there you have it. You have a seed, you have soil, you have sun, you have rain, and you have that constancy of the tree staying in the same place. And the result is a beautiful fruit. So let's look first of all at that seed. What is the seed? Actually, you are the seed. You are the seed planted in the soil. Now, not every seed will flourish. It's got to be the right seed. And it says in Psalm 92 verses 12 and 13, the righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. So the righteous man will flourish. It doesn't say anybody will flourish. It doesn't say people will flourish universally. It says the righteous person will flourish. Now you may ask yourself, what is a righteous person, or what is a righteous man or a woman? Well, first of all, you have to be born again of the Spirit of God. You have to receive a new heart, and you have to live in the righteousness that God has given you. Not your own righteousness, but the righteousness that God has given. So what is righteousness? Well, this means that I am, when the Bible says I am the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, it means that I am the excellence of God through Jesus Christ. I am the perfection of God. I am in good standing with God, not through my own efforts, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So anything I do must not be done in order to attain righteousness or excellence or perfection. Everything that I do must be done out of righteousness and excellence and perfection. It's got to be done out of what God has done for me in my life.
Yeah.
So the Christian life is always about done, not about do. It's what has God done for me? What has God given me? What gift has God given me in my life? And am I living and rooted in that gift? Yeah, am I that seed? Am I that seed that says, I am the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I am already the excellence of God. I don't have to strive for excellence. But because Jesus Christ died for me on Calvary, I have already, in a sense, attained that excellence because of my faith in Him. Amen? So, the person of faith will flourish. Put your faith in God and His righteousness, and you will flourish. Apart from faith, there is no flourishing in God. We are stuck in the infant stages of Christianity if we do not accept the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. It is only when we begin to accept what God has done for us, and we sit in that, and we rest in that, and we remain in that, that actually we can put our roots down deep. That's when we begin to put our roots down. So the seed is yourself and myself. And that seed is a righteous seed. The righteous man will flourish. So this morning, ask yourself, am I trying in my own strength to attain my own righteousness? Or have I fully and completely put my faith in Jesus Christ and in the fact that He is my excellence? He is my perfection. I can't attain that perfection, but God has given it to me as a gift. That is an amazing thing to realize. Hallelujah! We can raise a hallelujah because of that this morning, can't we? Amen? So there is a seed, and that seed is you. And there is a soil. Okay, so it needs to be the right soil as well. Because I remember when I was a teenager, I decided that I was going to go into gardening. And there was a piece of land at the back of our house. It was rocky, and there was, you know, it wasn't a great piece of soil, but I didn't know much about gardening. I didn't know anything about growing carrots, but I got the seeds, good seeds. And I put them down into this soil, lay them out, and I sat back and I waited for a harvest. Okay, well, I did get a harvest. But when I dug up the carrots, they were like the lower trunk of a man. Okay, because they had legs. And they had all kinds of legs. Okay, wonky legs, bendy legs, short legs, long legs. But they were small. And they weren't the type of carrots that I had seen come in from the shop. They were different. Okay, and I learned afterwards that actually I'd put them in the wrong soil. That was the wrong soil for those. While the seeds were good, I put them in the wrong soil. So our seed has got to be planted in the right soil. If we don't put our seed in the right soil, we won't grow and we won't flourish. So there is a particular soil that God has brought you into, and it's the right soil for you. So first of all, what is that soil? That soil has to be a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Not a relationship with the church in the first place, but a personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You and I have to be rooted and grounded in that relationship.
Yeah.
It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." God's wisdom says that you have to come to Christ through the cross and enter a relationship with Jesus Christ through his cross. This is the soil in which you will flourish. It's a reliance upon Christ and on an ongoing relationship with him through the cross. Put your roots into Jesus Christ downwards if you want to flourish upwards.
Yeah.
Now the soil, there are many types of soil out there, and people are putting their roots into them, even Christians. The soil of being famous, the soil of having a platform, the soil of having people listen to you, the soil of being wealthy, the soil of being popular, the soil of being excellent. None of these bear ultimate fruit.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
The only soil that will bear ultimate fruit in your life and in my life is an intimate and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You can encourage me, you know, like Jacqueline last week. You can encourage me. Now, if we look at the people of Israel in the Old Testament, the way that God dealt with the people of Israel is a picture for us to understand. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, God says, "I will appoint a place for my people Israel." I will appoint a place.
Amen.
That place God has appointed for his people. That place in the Old Testament was a land. That place in the New Testament is not a land, it's Christ.
Yeah.
Are you in Christ? Not are you in Israel? Are you in Christ? In him we have the redemption of our trespasses. In him we are planted and rooted and grounded, and that's where we will flourish. So I will appoint. The appointed place is Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. And let me say this morning that you and I, we have to protect that place that God has given us.
Yeah.
You have to look after it. Yeah, and you have to give up the weeds. You have to clear out the weeds. Because if your plant, your life gets overgrown by weeds and the cares and the worries and the anxieties of life, it's going to stunt your growth in Christ. So clear your life out of worry and anxiety and problems and worrying about money and whatever else it is that we worry about. Put your roots in Christ and put your roots in church.
Yeah.
Put your roots in church. And if God has brought you to a place where you are being blessed and you are being nourished and you are being nurtured, Don't give up that place. You are getting a place of belonging. God has brought you into a place of belonging. And it's a dangerous thing to mess around with your place of belonging, because you're going to go out into nothingness. You're going to take yourself out of one soil and into another soil, maybe, that's not suited for you. If God has brought you to a place, I want to say to you this morning, put your roots down. And I want to say to you, it's not easy. I'm not saying this is easy. Over 30 years ago, I put my roots down in a church down in Blidworth. Was it easy? No, it wasn't. Because I'd come out of a totally different context. And this was entirely different for me. And did I feel like leaving a number of times? Yes, I did. I wanted to uproot, and I wanted to go, and I wanted to leave, but I didn't. You see, in the beginning, it's difficult. Until you make up your mind that God sent you here, and this is your home, yeah, and this is your place. You mustn't give that up. If God has spoken to you, you must not under any circumstances give up your sense of belonging in the church where God has planted you. If God has given you a place and a soil, don't allow the problems of life to deter you or put you off. Put your roots into Christ and into the habits that will help you to grow. That is, put your roots into church. Habits of being in church. Habit of prayer. Habit of Bible reading. Habit of giving. A generous, living a generous Christian life. In the Psalms it says, you transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations. God has driven out your spiritual enemies before you. And he has planted you. And then he says, you cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. And that's the promise for you and for me this morning. God has brought us out. He's cleared the place before us. He's given us a soil. And he says that you will take root and you will flourish and you will fill the land and you will live a fruitful Christian life. But do not give up what God has brought you into. Do not give up what God has given you. Keep your life free of weeds. Otherwise, you won't take root downwards and you won't bear fruit upwards. The weeds and the problems of life will get to you before you can take root. So recognize the soil that is right for you and look after it. Keep it clear. And then, of course, as well as the seed and the soil, there is the sunshine. The sunshine of God's love that flows down upon us when we open ourselves to the Word of God. God's Word tells you that you are loved, that you are precious, that you are chosen, you are a royal priesthood, you are a holy nation, a people set apart to declare the praises of him who brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So bathe yourself continually in the love that comes to you through knowing the word of God. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, for God who said, let light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Fruitfulness can never be achieved from anything other than abiding and remaining in the love of God and believing that God loves you. No matter what enemies come against you, no matter what problems are thrown up against you in life, you and I, we need to believe that God loves us. Choose to believe nothing else other than the fact that God loves you and he loves me. Amen. Your fruitfulness is an overflow of God's love in your life. Not an overflow of our self-effort or the pursuit of excellence like Jim. It's an overflow of God's love. We can only give what we've got. And the more of God's love that we open ourselves up to, the more that we have got to give, the more fruit that God will bear in our lives. Otherwise, if we give in to self-effort, we're going to end up burnt out, frustrated, and defeated. Jim, it seems, did everything that was right. He was in good standing. He had a relationship with God, but it doesn't seem that he was actually relying on God's love shining in his heart and empowering him and flowing out of his life. So I hope this is making sense to you. You need a seed. You're the seed. You need to be planted in the soil. The soil is Jesus Christ and his righteousness. You need the sunshine of God's love to allow it to constantly permeate your life and nurture you and encourage you and grow you. And then you need the rain of the Spirit of God. You know, the one thing that distinguishes a Christian from a fruitful, flourishing Christian is the Spirit of God. Not saying that a Christian doesn't have the Spirit of God, but a flourishing Christian is reaching out to the Spirit of God and drawing in that water from God's Spirit on a continual basis. The Spirit of God is to a Christian what water is to a tree. I was over in Warsaw this week and Sarah Troop was talking to me about those large trees beside the church. And we were talking about taking them down and you know, the roots that they've got. They're very, very tall trees. And we don't know where the roots are going. Yeah, but Sarah said, let's hope they're going out into the field, not under the building. Yeah. If they go under the building, they could eventually do damage. But she said, I hope they're going out into the field because that's where they're going to get water. The roots reach out to wherever the water is. And if it's dry beside the building, the roots won't come near the building. They'll go in the opposite direction, out into the field. Okay? So we have to reach. Amen. We have to reach for the water. We have to reach for where the Spirit of God is. That makes all the difference in our lives. The one thing that distinguishes a church from an organization is God's Spirit. We are an organism, a living organism, not a dead organization. It's the Spirit of God that makes all the difference in our lives. And without the Spirit, your growth is stunted. A tree, as you know, will not grow without water. And it seeks water at all costs. And without the Spirit, your Christian life is dead and formal, and it doesn't matter how excellent you are, like Jim, or what perfection you are seeking. You know what's at the end of that piece of string? It's the doctor. It's the psychiatrist. It's the counselor. You will end up tired, stunted, and burnt out if you do not consistently take a drink of water from the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And I was so encouraged the day that I was born again, 44 years ago, 43 years ago. And the scripture I was given, and I've shared this before, John 7:37, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. Now Jesus has been glorified. You are a Christian.
Yes.
You have received.
Yes.
You have received the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You are bathing yourself in the love of God. Well, now reach out to the glorified, risen Jesus. And ask him to fill you
Yes.
with overflowing, with the power of his Holy Spirit. And do that every day, because otherwise your life is going to become dry. You can say every day when you reach out to the Spirit, the dry season is over.
Amen.
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 So the rain of God's Spirit is so important. And then the last thing that I have mentioned already is that consistency. That consistency of remaining where God has placed you, where God has brought you. In the book of Amos, chapter 9, verse 5, the Lord says, "I will also plant them in their land and they will not again be rooted out from the land which I have given them. Why? Because you remain constant in the land that God has given you. Consistency and remaining. And I've used that word quite a bit this morning, but I want to reassure you that it's not a political message at this time, okay? But remaining, that's gone over some people's head. You can remain or you can leave. And in terms of our walk with God, it's always remain, abide in Christ, sought to flourish and thrive. You are the seed. You are a person of good standing before God because you're a Christian. And secondly, you are rooted in Jesus. That's the soil that you put your roots down into. You are submitting constantly to God's love. When things come against you and anxiety raises its ugly head in your heart and the problems of life come against you and it seems like you cannot cope, then reach out and let the sunshine of God's love flow upon you. You are watered and nurtured by the Spirit of God. We've been watered and we've been nurtured here this morning. I felt the power of God this morning in that time of worship. And the outcome is a life of bearing fruit upwards. Roots downwards, fruit upwards. No roots, no fruit. You will not be shaken. And as I say, in the early days, it's difficult. But you have to persist. And you have to remain. And you have to put your roots down. In the latter days, when you look back, as I look back over 30, 40 years of remaining in one church, you recognize the growth. You look back and say, wow, I never realized I'd actually come that far. I'd never realized, you know, the fruit that has come out of my decision to remain. You don't know what lies down the road for you, but I can tell you this, from my own personal experience, that if you remain and you put your roots into Christ, you put your roots into church, and the Bible, and prayer, and generosity, that you will grow.
That's true.
You will grow, and if you remain, you will bear great fruit for God. That's where we all want to go, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to be a fruitful person?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not giving you a foolproof whatever this morning, but I know that these principles work for me, and I know that the Bible teaches these principles. They are principles. It's not a scheme or, you know, a formula or something like that. All these things work together. They all come together. But if you follow these principles, then you will put your roots down and you will bear great fruit upwards. I just pray that God will bless this message to your heart this morning in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay. I'm looking for stop.